For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
10th play of the Chiefs drive is 1st and 10 after the penalty at the Raven 19 near hash. Mahomes to throw against a four-man rush. Fires it near side to Kelce. Comes back to the ball and hauls it in. Touchdown! Kansas City! Patrick Mahomes absolutely took duct tape and just wrapped the ball around the waist of Travis Kelce for a 19-yard touchdown. Jackson, quick snap again. She's trying to push the pocket. Jackson throws deep middle for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted in the end zone! Intercepted by Deion Bush! Back-to-back turnovers in the end zone by the Baltimore Ravens! Deion Bush with the interception. The old Wiley special teams dude gets a pick, and Jackson makes a mistake throwing into the teeth of the Chiefs coverage. Flowers sprints out to the near side. Sneed's on him. Shotgun position as they now shift. And they've got a wide receiver, Aguilar, tight to the right side. Back to throw is Lamar Jackson. Over the middle, caught by Zay Flowers and lunges for the end zone. They're going to say the ball's out. They're going to say the ball is out in the end zone. The Chiefs think they have the ball in the end zone. No official has been given yet. They're going to say a touchback. The Chiefs recover the ball in the end zone. Zay Flowers caught the ball and fumbles the ball into the end zone.
The runner fumbles short of the goal line. Recovered in the end zone by Kansas City
has a touchback. Zay Flowers hit short of the end zone and fumbles the ball.
By God, if you're not ready for tonight, I can't help you.
I wish he would have said touchback Kansas City on that one.
At that point, that man could have said whatever the hell he wanted to.
Oh, my gosh. That was so good.
Welcome to the show today. Welcome to 6 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't give a rip what time it is. It's game day, baby. And it's all here, all today. Black and white, green and yellow, red and yellow. It doesn't matter. Chiefs-Ravens opening night of football starts tonight, and it starts this morning on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. Boys, I told you I was going to get here. I waited Tuesday. I paused on Wednesday. I didn't sleep last night. I just watched highlights. I just listened to Mitch Holthus instead of listening to Zach Bryan. I listened to highlights of Mitch instead of listening to songs by Bruce. And by God, I'm here today. I've duct taped it to my leg.
Did you?
I'm ready to go. I'm revved up, thirsty, and ready to drown. God, let's go, boys. I don't know about you, but I'm shaking, and it's not because of the coffee.
I'm ready to roll. It's time. Like, we've been waiting so long for the opportunity to go back out there and show the rest of the NFL world what we've been talking about for so many months here in Kansas City. And just talking to some people again yesterday about what to expect. Expect an aerial attack tonight. Expect balls to be thrown in the air deep yards down the field and a lot of touchdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs, because at the end of this game, it's just not going to be people here in Kansas City excited. It's going to be the entire national media going, the Chiefs are back, baby, and they're back with a vengeance, and they're back with an offense that we haven't seen in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years maybe here in Kansas City. They're about to unleash some effing pain on the rest of the NFL, and what it's going to do for 3 days is going to make the rest of the NFL look at Kansas City and go, son of a gun, they've got it better than they've ever had it before, and this team is going to go out there tonight, make everybody proud, everybody smile, everybody in Kansas City get fired up. up, and the rest of the NFL world's going to look at us and go, damn, man, we don't stand a chance against these guys, because I think they are ready to go. I think they've got payback on their mind. It's so bizarre that we're sitting here talking about a team getting ready to win their third consecutive Super Bowl, and we're talking about they have payback on their mind. But that's where it's been since this offseason started. It's all about correcting the ills from last year. It's all about Patrick Mahomes feeling better about what they're doing out there, and it's all about winning that third Super Bowl while embarrassing the rest of the NFL along the way, man. It's going to be phenomenal.
That being said, let's get into the Royals' win last night. I'm kidding. We'll get into that a little bit later. I'm going to be on one
finally
today.
Finally, they got a win. I mean, hey, it took a week, but they finally got one. Big one last night. And, hey, they stemmed the tide, though.
That's right.
I mean, they stemmed the tide. You got a 7 or 8 game losing streak, whatever it was, and you gained ground.
That's right.
You stemmed the tide, and that was a big win last night for the Royals. Tommy Pham already paying dividends by J.J. Pecola with that big home run last night. And then Seth Lugo being the veteran that he is, nutting it up out there and going out there and just dominating the Cleveland Indians. I like that game last night. That's a big one going into an off day, going into the Chiefs season, because had they lost that one last night, I don't know how many people were talking about the Royals on Friday morning getting ready for a big series against the Twins. But now you feel like the Royals are back, baby. One game can do that to you.
And not only that, Fesco said that there was foreshadowing last night's game because the home plate umpire's name was Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas was the home plate umpire last night. Yeah, that's the one part of the game that I was in and out a lot last night. A lot of stuff going on in life yesterday, and I kept hearing the umpire. They kept talking about the umpire, Derek Thomas. No matter what broadcast I was listening to or watching or whatever the case may be, whether it was Cleveland or Kansas City, they kept talking about this umpire,
right,
Derek Thomas, umpiring last night in Kansas City the night before the Chiefs go for a three-peat. And I thought to myself, it's over right here. Like, if there's any more foreshadowing, goosebump type of moments, anything that you need to see from the heavens above, freaking Derek Thomas was umpiring behind home plate last night on the eve of the beginning of a three-peat in Kansas City. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
No doubt about it. It's a special season that starts tonight, and it starts with the rematch of the AFC Championship game. And this is so much better than what we all thought it was going to be. I don't know what camp you were in. Schedule release.
I can't say the name on the air. I don't think it's allowed.
Okay. A lot of people, I've already been corrected. It was the first base umpire. Sorry.
I thought it was, who the hell cares? I mean, seriously, you're texting the show that this morning about what umpire was umpiring what base.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
But look, a lot of people thought it was going to be Houston and C.J. Stroud because they fit the narrative of last year. Detroit was the up-and-coming team with a lot of promise on that season. Chiefs opened up with Detroit. A lot of people thought it was going to be C.J. Stroud and Houston Texans come, you know, roaring into Kansas City to see what it's like to be at the top. No. Mm-mm. Then some people, myself included, said, why wouldn't it be Cincinnati? We got missed on Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes last year. We got missed on the matchup that should have been. And they said, nah, that doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
So they went and they found frickin' Baltimore and said, you were all wrong, and now you're all happy to be wrong, and you get a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game that was, oh, well, Patrick Mahomes, he's got to go on the road again. Oh, shucks.
And he's undefeated on the road in the playoffs, last I checked, right?
Yeah, 2-0.
Yeah.
Unless you count Super Bowls.
Right.
Then he's not undefeated.
Then he's not. But that's neutral site.
That's neutral.
Well, I guess that technically was a road game in front of cardboard fans.
Definitely.
But no, but that was a
neutral
site.
It was a home
game
for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yes.
Final Super Bowl. Weird.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Anyways.
Script?
But this is not only a great way to kick off football for the entire nation that loves the NFL, it's a great way to kick off football for so many reasons here in Kansas City. One, it's a home game with the unveiling of the Super Bowl banner, which will happen at 7:09. It's the new arrival of a new revamped offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's another year of seeing what your GM did to patch up what was last year, which was an 11-6 record that still ended with confetti and a Lombardi trophy. And now you get the MVP of last year coming into the MVP's house of the previous year. And Patrick Mahomes gets to be there on the field with everybody there. Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Taylor Swift, Hollywood times two for another season. And Baltimore gets to see what they missed out on. But not only that, Baltimore is going to go into this game to start it off focused on what was last year's missed opportunity in the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs, will be doing the complete opposite, going into this game thinking about nothing but a three-peat, and that's the beautiful thing that you love to see.
Well, Baltimore's going in there thinking about last year's game we've already won, because you got to let that go if you're an opponent. So if they're still thinking about last year's game, which, God, I hope they are, This is going to be an easy win for the Kansas City Chiefs, because you spend too much time focused on the past. You're not focused on what's in front of you, and that's going out there and trying to win a football game. I don't think Derrick Henry makes all that big a difference for Baltimore. I mean, the guy's 30 now. I mean, he's over that kind of that
I thought he was like 35.
I thought he was earlier. We were talking about it off the air a little bit. I thought he was a lot older than 30 myself.
I looked up last night. I was like, Derrick Henry, 30?
He's one of those guys, though, that, like, you know, you see, like, we saw him on the streets of Miami during the Super Bowl week.
Sticks out like a sore thumb.
I mean, you're like, oh, my God, I do not want to tackle that gentleman. That was right after Frank Clark said, you know, we're going to hold this guy down, and they held him the 69 yards, right, in that championship game, right? Nice. And we saw him in Miami. We're like, oh, my God, how does anybody tackle this gentleman? He's so big. But he's also now 30 years old. The time has gotten to him. I don't think he's going to be a big difference maker for Baltimore in this game tonight. And so I just think this is all about the Chiefs, man. Like, they are as dialed in as an organization, I think, as they've ever been to try to do anything before. And when you have a dialed in Patrick Mahomes and a dialed in Andy Reid and a dialed in organization like they are right now, that's scary for everybody else around the NFL. Not that they weren't dialed in, but they are really dialed in and laser focused and ready to go out there and win this third straight Super Bowl and really show everybody that last year's offensive performance was just a blip on the radar. It wasn't a real offensive performance. That's not what Patrick Mahomes is all about. And I think he really does hate wearing last year's offensive performance, even though it turned into a Super Bowl win. And so that's why I think there are so many things out there that this organization is playing for, to get that respect back, to get everybody believing that they're good, and to show the rest of the NFL, hey, man, it all still goes through Kansas City. And it begins tonight. And I don't care if you're the Ravens or you're the Texans or you're the Packers or you're the Lions or you're any team like that. You got to find a way to do it against Kansas City. And if you don't do it against Kansas City, you ain't doing it against anybody, because it doesn't matter. Unless you beat the Chiefs, your games don't matter. Your wins don't matter. It has to be against Kansas City, and they're wearing that this year. And I'm telling you what, man, I just feel so good about this season being one of the best, if not the best, we've ever seen in Chiefs history.
That's right.
Boom. Let's go.
That's right. We have a loaded show today for you. Sorry, I'm just choking on my own excitement. Never said that out loud before. But
go like that.
Ben Maller, I don't want to do that. I want to keep that sig rasp in there. Ben Maller is going to join the show. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, going to join the show. Nate Taylor, The Athletic, joins the show. Matt Cotrero joins the show. Bob's son, Alex Gold, joins the show.
That's right.
We have a loaded slate for you today here on 96.5. The Fan. Chiefs coverage tonight starts at 4.
He's
you
more of my us. Grandpa.
You get us. You get Alex and Cody. You get Carrington for like 2 hours. And then you get Mitch, Danen, and Kling the rest of your evening here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll dive into narcissistic traits. Plus, we'll get into Ben Maller, who will join us on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Traffic brought to you by Renner Garage Door, R-E-N-N-E-R, forward and back. Checking 435, you're moving at posted speeds or better all around the metro, and that includes the Cordell and Cordell Construction Zone at Stadium Drive. Whether you need a new Smart LiftMaster opener, service, repair, or brand new garage door, Renner Garage Door has you covered. Locally owned, top-rated, R-E-N-N-E-R, forward and back. RennerDoor.com, touchdown Renner. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
We've joined in a loop.
There is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
We blazed our own trail and staked our claim at the top.
Kansas City, you've got a champion!
But we know there's another level to reach. A chance to be one of one. And the truth is, never been done. Has never seen a team like this.
And it's caught by Kelce!
Back-to-back world championships established our reputation. But now, it's about legacy. The task in front of us may seem insurmountable, but that's how we want it. It's another summit waiting for someone to plant their flag and claim it. So no matter what stands in our way, just know everything's impossible until it isn't. And we have history to make.
I mean, duct tape it to your leg.
Woo!
Welcome to the opening night of football. And it just so happens to be here in Kansas City.
I love the fact that we get opening night every year, right?
Yeah. Every year.
Not only because we're winning Super Bowls. But man, having that opening night game. Can you imagine sitting like Pittsburgh this morning going, we got to wait till Sunday to play whoever we got coming up, the Falcons or whatever it is. Like, imagine we get this game going, man.
Imagine all those nerds that are like, what's going to be the schedule next year? Well, we know that the opening game is going to be in Kansas City against somebody.
It's funny you say that. I was at the Jay yesterday working out, and I was thinking about today's game, right? And I'm like, okay, Thursday night, just ironic that the Royals had an open day on a homestand on a Thursday night when the regular season started. And I was going to look at next year's schedule for the Royals. It's already out, to see if that first Thursday after Labor Day is an off day or if the Royals may happen to be on the road. So if anybody can pull up that 2025 schedule, I didn't get around to it yesterday because, well, I forgot about it. But I was that's what I was thinking about yesterday. I'm like, I wonder if the Royals are home on this date next year, because if they're not, well, then book it, folks. It's already over. The Kansas City Chiefs have won your three-peat because they're keeping that Thursday night open, and it just didn't magically happen that way, right? Because you know the leagues meet with their teams and they say where do you want your schedule games, all that kind of stuff. They're able to have that input, and I'm sure the Chiefs or the Royals are looking at that Chiefs schedule for next year, going, all right, the Thursday after Labor Day, we either better have an off day or we better be on the road, because there's a good chance there's a Thursday night game that's going to be taking place at Arrowhead Stadium. So that's your first inkling of the script to see what happens. Are the Royals here next year on that Thursday night, or do they start the season? Do you have the schedule, Matt?
Yeah, they're going to have to change their schedule because they're here against the Angels. They're going to have to make an audible there.
They're going to have to make it. What time is that game scheduled for? Do they have the game times yet?
No game times.
So yeah, you can't even. Is that the last game of a series?
That's the last game of a series.
So it'll probably be a day game, but even still with that situation, they will probably have to. Is that Monday open, Labor Day, before the that Thursday night game? They have an off day there?
On the fly.
Yeah, just real quick.
I don't think they play Labor Day.
Okay, they don't play Labor Day.
So no game Labor Day.
Okay, so they'll be playing Labor Day. That Thursday will be
open.
Move
it all back.
And so there you go.
And Mike Trout won't be there.
And no, God no, he'll be hurt in April of next year.
God, you hate to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you talk about a wasted talent.
Somebody in the text line, we got a lot of people chiming in. I hope you're there. If you're not, I'll be here till 10, and I'll make sure we get you there. Dan and KCK, he's there. Bob. Dusty, Chiefs will shut down Derrick Henry. Going to Union Station this morning. Seen a lot of people. My buddy Blair, he's out there. Saw the Chiefs Kingdom stuff. Everybody's getting into the wave of it because this Chiefs team is so packed with excitement. Everyone's a family in this place. And this is why every year they're a favorite. Chemistry, team building, team bonding, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. This is why we always give up on the Jets, because of this topic.
The Jets, yeah. Like, if you're looking for something to do today, too, go meet Christian Okoye at the Westin from 2 to 4. He's going to have his book being signed, and you can get an autographed book from Christian Okoye. His new book is out. Free samples offered by Holiday Distillery as well. Plus, their featured cocktail, the Nigerian Nightmare, will be available. So 2 to 4 at Skies at the Sheraton in KC Mo. If you're down at Union Station, you're looking for something to do, you want to meet Christian Okoye, go ahead and do that today from 2 until 4. That's something else to do to get excited and get ready for what's going to be the biggest game of the year. I really do believe that the biggest home game of the year, in my opinion, is this one. It's against Baltimore. But can Joe Burrow throw a football? That's going to be the most interesting game of the slate over the weekend, is seeing if Joe Burrow can throw the football. Good news for them. They got Ja'Marr Chase back. Everybody's saying he wouldn't be able to play if he didn't show up on Wednesday night. Nonsense, but they got him back, so it's gonna be crazy, man. This weekend's gonna be wild. A lot is going to be proven in week one of this NFL season, and we'll all have our minds made up about what we think about teams week one, especially the Jets, who you gotta wait for Monday night to watch that narcissistic mess.
Well, which is crazy, because when they go out to do the coin toss, only one guy will go out there because they only have one captain, and it's Aaron Rodgers. If that doesn't scream narcissism, sociopathic vibes, that's why the Jets are going to suck, because they put all their chips in the hat for a guy that cares nothing about a team but just himself.
That's right.
Aaron Rodgers has given us plenty of signs in the past that he's narcissistic. This couldn't be more than one. I'm sure there's somebody in New York that could be like, Dusty, chill out. The reason they do this is because it's what I don't care. Like, if they, even if the Jets organization was like, hey, we want to make you our sole captain on offense. If you're the quarterback and you're the coach of your team, you say, no, we got Garrett Wilson here. He's good. Breece Hall, fantasy goers. Breece Hall, big year upcoming for him. He should be involved with this. Why don't they have an offensive lineman there?
Nah. Not one offensive player other than Rodgers.
Nah, we'll get a guy that's played three snaps in our organization.
And he's not even the best offensive player on the team, right? Like, you just named all those guys who I would take over Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. But that is as narcissistic as you can be as a football player. And when the Jets go down in flames, which they will because, well, they're the Jets, people are going to go, I can't believe this happened. And we can go, no, we can believe it happened because you have a quarterback who believes that he is bigger than the organization. And that's where we're so lucky to have Patrick as well, guys. I mean, like, he has never thought of himself bigger than the organization. He's taken team-friendly deals. He does everything to keep the guys around. And it's all about the organization. It's all about, you know, what he can do for Kansas City. It's all about what he can do for the Chiefs. And then you got Aaron Rodgers out here after he put his toe down that he was licking before the coin toss going out. There's the only offensive captain. And I just think, like, people can say, oh, the team votes on all of that kind of stuff. I guarantee you Aaron Rodgers went to Robert Saleh and said, I will be the only offensive captain on the team this year. 100%.
I am the captain now.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds
me of. Sir, you haven't been here. Like, literally, you have not been here for 2 years, and you want to be the captain of this football team. Just because you're the quarterback doesn't mean you have to be the captain of the team. But, I mean, like, Daniel Jones is a captain in New York as well, which is beyond me. But every quarterback seemingly gets that C. Just because you're the quarterback doesn't mean you're the captain of that team. And I just think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the reason why the Jets fail instead of the reason why the Jets have a little bit of success.
Another captain was announced, Bo Nix, Mac Morey's guy, the captain in Denver. Jeez.
Yeah, again, well, this guy hasn't played a minute, but he's the quarterback, and so
he's also the oldest guy on the team, so it makes
true.
Sense.
True,
nice.
Well done. Yeah. Nicely played.
No, but see, I this is two different stories, and I can't believe that I'm going to say that I agree with Denver in their decision making. When you're a struggling franchise, and you went out and drafted a quarterback who your coach liked, and your coach is known, I guess, to be a quarterback's guy. If you want the team and the city and the ownership to believe in what you're doing, you've got to hype up your guy.
Got to do it. They're just a hype train, yeah.
And Bo Nix is a guy that I think he's going to be okay in this role. I think he's going to be okay as, like, this is our quarterback moving forward. Now, it could go completely south with Bo Nix, but the guy played 9 years in college. At least seven. And he's played in big stages in college football. Now, again, he's not been into the league yet, right? Like,
he's older than Derrick Henry.
He's I think the same age as Justin Herbert, and Herbert's been in the league for 4 years.
Isn't Bo Nix only 23 though? Didn't we look that up?
I think he's 24.
He's 24.
How old's Herbert?
Like 24, 25.
Is he really that young?
He came out when he was 21, been in the league 4 years, so he's like 25.
So he's been in the league this long and he's still an under 500 quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 26. Yeah, Bo Nix is 24.
24,
yeah.
Okay.
And he'll turn, 25 in February. So, yeah, 24.
24, yeah.
We'll get to Ben Maller in a little bit, but we'll talk about this matchup tonight for half a second before we get to our guy, BM. Was there anybody, like, would you want anybody but Baltimore tonight?
No, absolutely
you
not.
You want the rematch in your house?
Yeah, you want the biggest game. Yeah, like last year when they rolled out Detroit, I understand why they did that. They wanted to roll out Detroit, literally roll out Detroit to America because everybody was talking about Dan Campbell. They finished hot at the end of the season. They were an up-and-coming team. I get why they were on the Chiefs schedule. And if I'm not mistaken, like last year, the Chiefs home schedule wasn't all that appealing, right? Like, I mean, you did have Buffalo and you did have Cincinnati on the schedule, but sometimes they like to save those games for the end. And you always want to think about who that home opener is going to be. And the first year they won the Super Bowl, we saw the Houston Texans come in and get mollywopped in that COVID game. And that was the opener. Then we had the Lions as the opener. And this year we get the Ravens, as that hometown team opener. And I think that's the right right way to do it, because that AFC championship game, I think, was a very compelling football game, right? Mm-hmm. I think all of America enjoyed that football game. And the NFL is a business. They're all about generating TV dollars. They're all about getting eyeballs on TV. What's going to get people to watch opening night more? Obviously, people are going to be tuned in for opening night. But if it's the Chiefs versus the Chargers, or the Chiefs versus the Broncos, or the Chiefs versus the Raiders, the eyeballs probably aren't coming to the TV set that are the ancillary kind of common sports fan. But you've got a rematch of the AFC championship game. You got Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. Like, God, if you don't have goosebumps right now, like, this game gives you everything that you want. Two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, two of the best coaches in the NFL, two of the best teams in the NFL played a compelling AFC championship game that the Chiefs ended up winning. Like, they're dropping a banner. It's rubbing it in the face of Baltimore, who has to stand there and watch this. Like, Taylor Swift maybe sings the national anthem tonight. Like, who knows what's going to take place in this game and what's going to happen? Because that's why you do Baltimore. You do it because it is the best team that you could possibly put on the schedule going into week one. And then after week one, it's a crapshoot. We don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be teams that are going to be good that we're not talking about. There's teams that we think are going to be good that are going to be bad. You come out of the gate firing with this one. It's a perfect matchup for Kansas City.
Does Baltimore have an advantage that this is not a playoff game?
No, I don't think Baltimore has the advantage at all. I think if you're Baltimore, you have to try to find a way to block out all this noise. You know, you have to try to find a way to block out all this noise and figure out a way to get it done on banner night. Ben Maller joins us here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, I got the Chiefs winning tonight 72-0, my friend. What do you think?
Well, that's a bold take by you, Bob. Way to get the NFL season started right. So I look at it through the eyes of a degenerate handicapper. And I actually do like the Chiefs. I don't like them by 72 points, but they should win. And I think they'll win by about a touchdown tonight. Although, if you look at all of the sharp money, it's on Baltimore. The Ravens have been a great play for gamblers over the years. But having this amount of time, especially considering what happened last year to the Chiefs early in the year when they didn't, you know, get off to the greatest start, I think that's still in the back of their mind. They're the key guys, Andy Reid, Mahomes, and those guys. So they're going to correct the sin of last year. And there are some guys out tonight, but I want to see what Xavier Worthy can do and some of these other new guys. And I think the Chiefs will get it done. And will they be able to slow down Derrick Henry, who's a 1,000-yard rusher back in the day with Tennessee, who's also starting to slow down, but he's making his debut for the Ravens. So there's a lot of storylines and whatnot, but I do like the Chiefs to win this game by about a touchdown.
It's funny you bring up Derrick Henry, because I was just, you know, going down rabbit holes last night before this game, thinking of like things that maybe we're not talking about. Maybe we're blinded by the Chiefs colored glasses. I didn't know Derrick Henry was only 30. Like, I feel like he should be at least 37 as long as he's been in the NFL, but he's 30 years old. Like, still got a couple years of youth in him. Is there any, like, should we be worried about Derrick Henry in Kansas City, or is it time of his career where it's like he's going to get you your 60, 70 yards and maybe a touchdown and that's it?
Yeah, I'm not really worried. I don't look at the Ravens and say, well, they got Derrick Henry now. They're definitely going to be that much better and, you know, tangibly better because of Derrick Henry, because he is young enough. But this is one thing the nerds got right. There's a certain number of touches, rushes and catches a running back gets. I think it's like 2,500. And once you cross that threshold, if you look at the comps, your production goes down. So every once in a while, there's an outlier that defies the statistic. But Derrick Henry is past that threshold, which, from what I've heard, is one of the reasons the Tennessee Titans were not exactly motivated to bring him back, even though he was a franchise legend. But he is in great shape, and there are guys that are the exception to the rule. But I look at the Ravens, and they're the same team they have been. I don't think they're any different. They're a good regular season team, but Lamar Jackson's got kryptonite in the playoffs. And until he proves that that is not the case, I think the Ravens are just a regular season team that is beatable in the playoffs. But this is a much bigger game for them than it is obviously the Chiefs, right? I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, it's, you know, 17, you only get 17 games, but for the Ravens, it's a chance to say, hey, you know, we're going to get payback and we'll see these guys again down the line. And this is a big opportunity to make an early statement in the NFL season.
Well, it's also big too, Ben, for the Chiefs, because you get the Ravens and then you get Cincinnati. You start this thing off 2-0 by beating the Ravens in Cincinnati. You've basically stiff-armed the rest of the AFC competition. And by the middle of September, everybody's going, damn, the Chiefs already got the one seed locked up.
Yeah, you're in great shape, and the Bengals have been a terrible team early in the season. Joe Burrow, that's like the one weak spot on his resume is the first 2 weeks of the year. I think he's 1-7 the Bengals are with Burrow the first couple weeks of the year. You'd think they'd improve to 2-7 because they play the Patriots this weekend. But yeah, for the Chiefs, yeah, if he can beat the Ravens and have the tiebreaker against them and the tiebreaker against the Bengals, and you're looking around, you're like, who else is there? Maybe it'll be a surprise team like the Chargers that has a really good year. I don't think Buffalo's as good in the AFC. And then you know, all those other teams around the Bengals will probably just knock each other off, like Pittsburgh and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, it's obviously a big opportunity, but from the big picture for the Ravens, they're like, hey, you know, we can put our, you know, mark our territory here.
Is there something tonight that, like, if you see it in this game, and it's like from the Chiefs' perspective, like Mahomes hits Xavier Worthy on the first play with like a 70-yard touchdown. I'm just hypothetical here. That's like how Bob thinks the first score is going to happen. But if that does happen, which it could happen, is that going to be one of those moments where like Ben sits back and goes, oh, God, here we go again. Another year of Chiefs dominance.
Well, I don't have any skin in the game, Dusty, but I, as a talk show host, I always go to the negative. So I say, Mahomes throws 4 interceptions tonight. Oh my God, he's lost it. You know, that's always the angle. Or Lamar Jackson fumbles 5 times, you know, something ridiculous along those lines. Like, I'm always looking at that. But yeah, we know, I mean, how this is going to work on social media. The Chiefs come out and matriculate the ball down the field, go 90 yards, and Worthy has a big touchdown play, and then, you know, break the internet. You know, it's not fair. Why did the Chiefs get this guy? You know, how dare Buffalo help the Chiefs out? You know, that whole rant will be out there, and you know, rightfully so, because the Chiefs won, and they had second-rate wide receivers last year. So, I mean, you put better receivers there, they should be better. Mahomes was a middle-of-the-pack quarterback last year statistically by the nerd numbers. I think he was the 14th-ranked quarterback in the NFL last year, and he had almost no one to throw the ball to other than Travis Kelce. So you give him a couple of decent receivers, he's right back in the top 5 of the NFL, and then the defense, you've still got most of the core there. They did lose a couple of guys, but you got most of the core. And so, yeah, you're set up. You're set up. You're hitting the ground running for sure.
Talking with Ben Maller here on 610, or not 610 anymore, 96.5 The Fan. You can hear the Chiefs here tonight on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. So the biggest story going into the NFL season for me, obviously the Aaron Rodgers noises out there. I really think this Tom Brady thing is going to be so fascinating to watch. A, if he's any good. B, if he lasts more than a couple of weeks. C, if this Raiders ownership comes in. Like, I've never seen a guy who's not playing a game take so much attention away from what's going on in the NFL this year.
It would be one of the great upsets if Brady is good at television. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be any good at this. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong here, but he's the antithesis of like a Charles Barkley, who's the gold standard for ex-athlete who becomes a broadcaster, who's self-deprecating, and he's willing to attack everybody. Brady doesn't seem like he's any of those things. And he's spent his entire career trying to not be entertaining, and now all of a sudden you're supposed to be entertaining. That's a pretty tough avenue to navigate if you're Brady. And I do give him credit. We talked about this, you know, I come on with you every week, and we've talked about this in the past. He's got the ultimate audible in his back pocket. If he sucks as a broadcaster, he can say, hey, I can't, you know, pass up the Raider thing. I got to go to the Raider thing. And he's got that in his back pocket. So he's really set up, and or maybe he'll just go follow Bill Belichick on Instagram or something like that. If that's entertaining, right? Why not? What the heck? That wasn't choreographed at all, was it, guys? That wasn't some Manhattan PR firm helping Belichick out. Not in the least. Not at all. No way. Jose, no.
I think the reason he got Instagram is because he's dating a 25-year-old and they want to put up pictures for everyone to see. He didn't do it for the media. She was just like, babe, I've got all these pictures to upload, and I can't tag you in them, and everybody knows it's you. Get Instagram.
Instagram's great,
by the way.
Oh, I give Belichick credit, man, because you know, I thought he would try to hide from it because, you know, it's a little awkward for some people, but he's like fully embracing it. He's not hiding at all. He's not bashful Bill at all. But that video, if you go to Belichick's Instagram page, we were trying to we were trying to count how many edits they did when he did that. Hey, I'm, you know, here on Instagram. And he had all these lines that were written up by some PR firm somewhere, and he was repeating them. And you could tell every line, after every line, he was editing it. Somebody was editing it and putting it up. It was pretty entertaining. Belichick, are there any jobs left for guys like us? He's got 8 jobs now. 8 different gigs Belichick has in the media. That's pretty good, right?
It's wild for a guy who had 2-word answers and was not affable. And, you know, like, it wasn't like you were getting, I don't know, Pete Carroll or something like that, you know, an energetic type of guy. But what I've seen so far, he's been kind of entertaining. I think it's going to be good with the Manning brothers and see what, you know, what he can do on Monday nights.
It is fascinating. I've had conversations with old grizzled sports writers. I'm sure you guys have heard it from other people too. It's like one of the real blind spots in our business is the people that are terrible with the media who then become part of the media. It's fascinating, right? The people that treat the media like dog poop and then end up in the media. I got a great story for you. So when Shannon Sharp was playing in the NFL, I had him on my radio show. It was before the Super Bowl. And he tells me, he says, I asked him who he thought was going to win the Super Bowl. He wasn't playing in it. And he tells me, he says, listen, I don't watch football. I don't like football. I don't watch sports. He's now had, what, a 15-year career on television as a sports commentator on those debate shows. So it's a wacky, wacky world. But, yeah, Belichick, I'll agree with you. Belichick's been great. He's trying to redefine himself. He's playing grab ass with Pat McAfee, you know, the clowning around with Peyton Manning. So he's trying to prove that he's not an old curmudgeon, that he's got a softer side.
All right, Ben, before we let you get out of here, you got the Super Bowl pick on Thursday before the regular season. We're holding you to it all season long. If you say it now, you've got to carry it through the whole season, no matter who gets hurt. What's your pick?
So they've been playing the Super Bowl since the 1960s, and I'm gonna be Chalky McChalk here. And I'm not sucking up now because you're on the FM dial at all. But 3 in a row. I'm going with the Chiefs to get it done again, and everyone will be really upset. If you think they're upset now at the Chiefs, wait until they win another Super Bowl, and they'll be like, oh, this is not fair, this is not right. And will we get those Andy Reid stories? Is he going to retire after 3 straight Super Bowl wins? Keep an eye on that down the line. But, yeah, I don't see anyone better than the Chiefs. So why? I know it's better radio to pick some wild card team, but the Chiefs are the top team.
Ben Maller with us here on 96.5 The Fan, of course, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And you can catch Ben overnights right here on Fox Sports Radio and 96.5 The Fan. He's predicting a 72-0 Chiefs win as well. I like the fact that he's going out on a limb with that right there. Right?
I love predictions, and I love when people get predictions wrong, and we will come back with one of the worst takes by several that you no longer hear in the media anymore because of the reasons of these takes. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs, Royals, and all things Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Missouri signs 71 northbound starting to slow between 75th and Gregory. Checking 435, you're moving at posted speeds or better all around the metro, and that includes the Cordell and Cordell Construction Zone at Stadium Drive. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
Well, we're living here in Brettfeeds Town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more. And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays. We need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeach Town. Living here in Brettfeach Town.
This has got potential, buddy.
Oh, does it?
There it is. They've been waiting for it.
The FM's now you get getting it now.
Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, executive producer Mac Morey. Mac Morey is going to lose his cherry tonight in the Chiefs press box.
Yeah. Big night. Big night. Man. No cheering in the press box.
I already told him I got in trouble.
It's going to be hard.
You got in trouble?
Yeah, it was 1 year I was there with Danny Parkins, and I had Travis Kelce on my fantasy team, and he caught like a 50-yard touchdown. I was like, boom! And he was like, you can't do that. I was like, he's on my fantasy team. He's like, yeah, but we're KC Media. And then the second time I did it, everybody else did it, and of course, like Larry David in the moment, it was when Mahomes threw the did the squibble behind the line and hit Conley in the corner of the end zone against San Francisco, and everybody jumped up and just was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
and it got quiet. I go, "I didn't think we were supposed to do that," and the entire press box just broke out in laughter.
Well, but that's kind of the way it went. Like I'm trying to think I think the last actual press box game that I've been to was probably pre-COVID. No, it was when was the first AFC Championship game? That was pre-COVID, right? Yeah, of course, Miami, right? So like that was kind of the last time I was in the press box, you know, area of covering a game. People do react, though. I mean, Patrick Mahomes does things on the field, guys, that we've never seen before. It's okay to have a natural human reaction when he goes out there and makes a highlight play. And there will probably be about six of those tonight where you're just like, oh my God, or Chris Jones comes up big with a sack. Like, you have these kind of human emotions, and that's okay. I think that's fine to do something like that. Now, if you're sitting up there and you're screaming after every play, what are you doing? Like okay, there's something to be said for that. But going, whoa, like having that natural human emotion that everybody in that stadium and watching home is feeling, hell yeah, you can have that natural human emotion.
I'm not going to be able to hide that. My fist will be clenched. I will be biting my T-shirt. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. If I get kicked out, I get kicked out.
Yeah, you won't get kicked out. Just tell Ted, you know, hey, man, I'm here, and I'm going to cover the game, and it's okay.
He's no longer there.
Oh, I missed that news.
Yeah.
He won't be on TV then? That's a shame. Who's gonna be behind Patrick Mahomes and all the TV shots?
That I don't know.
We'll find out tonight.
By the way, just the little off the air stuff. My friend Tony texted me exactly with the same name you said when we were talking about that.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when this was, maybe you don't, but back in the day, seems like it was just yesterday when Mahomes was drafted.
Right.
Boy, did a lot of people get this wrong.
This for me. When I hear words about Pat Mahomes, these are the words I hear. Undisciplined, lacking fundamentals, immature. Pat Mahomes is the anti-Alex Smith. He's the opposite of everything Alex Smith is. What kind of message does that send that Kansas City locker room, specifically to Alex Smith?
Why are you drafting a quarterback? Why are you trading up to draft a quarterback that doesn't just have bad footwork, has no footwork?
Uh-oh.
The first thing he said was, kid needs a lot of work.
But everyone's talking about Patrick Mahomes like this dude is the second coming of Dan Marino.
This kid is ridiculous. What are you doing in practice?
Riddick, are you talking this footwork? Are you talking progresses? Are you talking this arm strength? Are you talking this accuracy? What are we talking about here?
All of that.
Has an electric arm. I'm not saying he has the greatest arm of all time. I'm saying tell me someone with a better arm.
Oh, but his footwork, his discipline, 3 Super Bowls, 4 appearances, 6 AFC Championship games. Hey, no.
Oh, my God.
Patrick Mahomes will never be great in the NFL because his footwork doesn't work, but he's the most productive, greatest improvisational quarterback there's ever been. Hey, no.
Yeah.
Played in the frozen tundra, played on the road, got snowballs thrown in his face, went to Baltimore, won another AFC Championship title, won another Super Bowl title, going for a three-peat. No one's ever done it. Hey, no.
Why are we talking about footwork? Like, what are we doing here?
Because that's the only thing people can find. He's not even 30. What happens when he becomes a drop back passer and then the whole league goes, well, crap. Yeah,
I don't know that he's ever going to become that drop back passer. That's not his game, right? His game is to do whatever it was and improvise and to make plays and to find open receivers and to make guys better around him. And, you know,
right.
I heard a quote from Joel Klatt the other day watching a college game, and he said the best attribute of a quarterback is to be an eraser. And I was like, oh my God, that applies exactly to Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
He erases everybody's mistakes around him. He takes the mistakes that others are making, and you don't know that they're making those mistakes, right? He makes those mistakes disappear, and that's why Patrick Mahomes is so good. But, I mean, people sitting here talking about the footwork back in the day of Patrick Mahomes, that tells me there's too much coverage of this kind of stuff, right? Can a guy play or can't he play? And when you get down to it and you're analyzing the footwork of somebody coming out in the draft, that just tells me you need to hit a hard reset and move on. Now, did everybody have Patrick Mahomes? No, Binkley may have been the only one that was, you know, predicting Patrick Mahomes, you know, at that point in time, that, you know, he wanted him, he wanted Patrick, he thought he was going to be the best quarterback in the NFL at that point in time when they drafted him. And so I give Binkley all the credit in the world for going in there and talking about Patrick Mahomes. But these folks just get too into the weeds at times with trying to figure out ways to bring down players during the draft as opposed to propping the players up. We do too much of that around the NFL draft. Bring them down, bring them down, bring them down, instead of propping them up, propping them up, propping them up. That guy's jersey 87 says Swift on the back, by the way.
Yeah, that's my buddy Blair.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
nice.
Blair. That's amazing. He said they chose Cody over him in the hot dog race.
I can't imagine why.
Well, Cody's never won. Look at Blair.
Look at Blair up there with the Super Bowl trophy and everything.
Let's go.
He's got his overalls on, his Taylor Swift jersey on. I love it, man. Let's go.
He's got a replica Lombardi. He's got the rings on. Good for Blair.
Yeah.
Good for Blair. Don't forget, we have you absolutely loaded with this show today. We have Matt Quatrero coming on later on. We have Mitch Holtis. God, you know he's there. We got Nate Taylor, Alex Gold, an entire loaded show here on Fesco and Dusty, which is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We got to talk about it because I don't care what people say. They're relevant. They're playoff bound. And they snapped out of it last night. If you can't guess what that tease is about, I can't help you. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.